flight track.
Welcome to Infandelity with B and C. One day, a former jock, that's B, married a self-proclaimed nerd, that's C, and slowly she introduced him to the path of nerdom enlightenment. Here we will discuss pop culture media and fandoms that we share and some that we don't. It's all fun and games until your spouse finishes a show without you.
All right, so we're finally back.
I don't know, I feel like it's been a break, like it's been a minute.
Yes, it has definitely been a long time. I mean, we've been busy building businesses, working, all that. But, you know, it's a very important time of the year. So we are going to get right into the discussion because we don't want to waste anybody's time. But I'm definitely happy to be back. So we don't have any movie and TV news, unfortunately. I will say that just a couple rest in pieces. That doesn't sound right, but
I mean, it's real.
A couple RIPs to Leslie Jordan. I did not watch Will and Grace, but I did start following him during the pandemic. Like, his videos really brought me a lot of life during the pandemic. So the way he died was pretty tragic. Look it up. I'm not going to go too far into it, but definitely rest in peace to the icon, Leslie Jordan.
Yeah. Then I didn't realize he was in American Horror Story either until, like, after the fact.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Probably in the later seasons.
Yeah, I think it was.
Rest in peace to Takeoff. I mean, I know it's not movie and TV news, but, you know, that just definitely hit us Atlanteans, us Gwenetians, pretty hard. So, yeah. Rest in peace to Takeoff. I don't know any others. But, I don't know if you know or if you remember. Did you used to watch the animated Batman series as a kid?
Animated Batman series. Yeah. I didn't hear about him.
The voice actor, Kevin Conroy, passed. I'm sure I would recognize his voice. I haven't watched that series since I was a child, so I can't hear it in my head. But I'm sure if I heard a clip, I would recognize it. So, yes, rest in peace to him, too, because the DC community really took that hard. All right, so just to refresh y'all. Wait, somebody else passed?
Yeah, the Green Ranger. That's what.
Oh, shit. That's what. Oh, my God. Yes, that just happened, like, 3 days ago.
I was like, damn, when did somebody we lose somebody big? Yeah. Yeah, man. Jason David Frank. Also known as the Green Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Also known as Tommy Oliver from Power Rangers as well. Also known as the White Ranger from Mighty Morphin as well. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know he was all those other Rangers as well. I didn't know he was he was like two other Red Rangers and a Black Ranger. I didn't know all of that shit existed until more recently.
I think he also came back, I think, in some later series. But yeah, I'll say, because it's kind of funny, but Tommy was like my first crush, like on screen when I realized I was attracted to men. I was like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. And I was like, I don't know, five, like hella young, thinking this man on screen is cute. So I'm just like, oh, that's how I remember him.
Yeah.
And my brother loved Power Rangers. I just, like, we had all the Power Rangers toys. I mean, any 90s kid, like, grew up on Power Rangers. Exactly. Like, they're like, no 90s kid has an experience without Power Rangers. Like, that was our everything. Like, it was literally a multicultural show. It was like action. Colorful as hell, stupid as hell, just like something that kids would love.
Right. Everybody wanted to be a Power Ranger.
And yeah, and Tommy, he was that one, so.
Think about what the fucking Apple Watch. When niggas had the Apple Watch, what was the first thing they got? The little everybody got that fucking little Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, little ringtone and all that shit.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted that shit. Yeah. They be talking to their watch, but they talking to fucking Zordon.
So definitely, oh my gosh, and he died really tragically. I'm not gonna say how, but look it up if you're interested.
And it's so, so sad because, like I said, when you see videos, like it was a video I shared of like the Black Ranger. There was like some type of like convention, like more recently, like one of the Comic-Cons or one of the cons more recently, and that's really what more of the cast of Power Rangers really make their money, I believe, like doing like guest appearances, little pop-up appearances at all these little Dragon Cons, Comic Cons, nerd convention type shits. So, but I don't know, you just see like the look in his face. Like he just looked just miserable. Like he just looked so sad almost. So it's like just to know in which way of how he passed, it was just like, oh damn, like I really wish like, you know, somebody else could have saw that or tried to give help if possible, or just anyway, you know, anyway at all, because you never know when somebody's hurting or what people are going through or whatever. That's why you just, I try to be as nice as I can to people and try to be compassionate, because like you say, you never know what people are going through, what they've lost, who people have lost. You just never know. So, you know, but yeah, prayers to his family and friends and, you know, the whole community, because, you know, our, you know, that's somebody that we all loved and looked up to and tried to fight, like, imitate and try to fight our, you know, cousins and siblings and loved ones or whatever, like, trying to be like the Power Rangers and shit. So, we literally lost the second Power Ranger. To me, I know they said other ones, like, somebody from Turbo or some other future Power Rangers have passed, but to me, there's only one set of Power Rangers. And that's Mighty Morphin. So we've lost two legends.
Oh, the Yellow Ranger,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Trini. Yeah. She died in a car accident. Like 2001, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, depressing segment.
No. I mean, you know, we just, you know, give it our flowers.
I don't know, like, any other hot goss in the movie and TV segment for now. I know Letitia Wright was kind of bitching at the Hollywood Reporter for some fucked up. They put her with like people who've made Hollywood mistakes, and it was like Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp and Letitia Wright. And it's like, she was like, I'm nothing like those men. Like, they're under investigation or were on trial for abuse or whatever. And she simply declined to be vaccinated. So, it was pretty disgusting them lumping her in with that, but I'm glad she spoke her piece. And that'll kind of go into what we're talking about today. We're not going to go straight to Tea for the Week. We have a brief homework segment, but we are going to be talking about Wakanda Forever in the Tea for the Week. So our homework segment is where we talk about things that we have previously been watching. I don't even remember what we were watching on the last episode that we recorded, but we're just going to briefly talk about House of the Dragon. I feel like that's the last thing me and B especially watched together. because our schedules have been set. But let's get into this House of the Dragon discussion. Just about, I would say, the show in general, the finale, and, you know, do we care about what's to come? In complaints, because you know I got complaints.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of complaints.
Okay, who's going first?
I can go for a little bit, and you can go off of me, and I can go off of you again. My first thoughts about the whole season overall, didn't like it. I didn't care much for it at all. Here's the thing. Like I said in a previous podcast, I believe the last one, I was very excited about having Game of Thrones back. You know, just hearing the intro music again, or the theme music, whatever. Hearing that shit again and just seeing the little map transition and all that. Like, I actually got, you know, excited to be on my, like, every Sunday tradition type shit all over again. But it wasn't until maybe like the second and third episode, I'm like, okay, Where are we going? Obviously, all over the place, because like the one of the things that I did not like about this season or this show for right now is the fast forwarding. And I think we mentioned some of it previously, but we're doing like an overall sum up. The time jumps were just so obnoxious. Like, I could see a couple of months, you know what I'm saying? Maybe even like a year or two, but just jumping like 5 and 10 years, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, wait, huh? What's going on? Like, I can't build a connection with anybody right now. Like, you know, y'all already, like, as soon as I really get into liking the young Rhaenyra, y'all snatch it from out of my feet. And we got this older Rhaenyra who honestly don't have the same get up like the young Rhaenyra. Young Rhaenyra had more fight about herself.
She was definitely feistier.
Yeah, she had more feistiness within herself as opposed to this other one. She seemed like more of a pushover.
I don't think she was a pushover, but I think she definitely, you know, settled into her role. But I mean, even still, she didn't really settle because she ended up having kids that wasn't from her marriage. So she still kind of did what she wanted, but within the confines of the rules, you know, and she still tried to pass them off as Valyrians, but yeah, that didn't work out too well. You done or?
No, I was not done, but I appreciate your assistance with that. We can stay on that topic or whatever. Another thing I didn't like, the Negroes that were in this show wasn't needed. I don't know why y'all gave us these black people. And one of my coworkers was like, oh, well, you know, the black people are in high regard. They're the wealthiest family on the show. And da da da. I said, well, what does that really mean if they keep getting fucked over and everybody dead?
Literally.
What is them being the wealthiest family on the show mean anything to us when everybody in their fucking family tree is just popping up fucking dead or getting killed or getting their head cut off or gotta disappear or whatever the fuck?
Or don't get no screen time.
Don't get no screen time.
Don't get no story build up. That's my thing. Okay, so let me start my rant.
Go ahead.
I don't know how...
It'll be a give and go, y'all.
I don't know how intelligent it's gonna be, but
it can be ignorant.
I'm just concise rather. I'm just gonna say this. I do not need black people in these kind of stories. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
At all. I don't know what y'all thinking.
And what I mean by in these kind of stories from white people that never intended for black people to be in them. There was a tweet that I saw or a video or I was listening to another podcast, but it was a quote and I tweeted it before and I'm gonna verbally state it because it was so profound and I wish I remember where I heard it from. At the time when House of Dragon was on, I tweeted it. Oh, I actually think it was the guy who played the uncle in House of Dragon said it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I don't know. But when you put a black person or black people in a story, it changes the context of the story. Honestly, it could have been when I was listening to a podcast with my new favorite actress and her director, whatever. I don't know. But the point of the quote was, when you put black people in a setting, it changes the context of the story.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot just simply put black people in like they do, race bend, and not expect the racial context of a black person being in your story to come up. Mm-hmm. Even though you try and just, you know, oh, they're just characters, but they're black, and unfortunately, because of the world that we live in, there's a certain politicalness or racialness element that you bring in when you bring in black characters into these stories, and many a time fantasy stories, because many a time these white people who wrote them did not intend for black people to be the characters that you have casted them in. And of course I want black people to get roles and be cast in different things, but it also upsets me when they have to be subjected to, you know, terrible ass fans first of all, and then the companies, the producers, whatever, they rarely come out and protect them. I also saw, shout out to, okay, so I do know who said this. Her name is Nick Yatu. I can't pronounce her last name, but she's a director of Nanny. And she tweeted and she was like, these actors who y'all race bend cast need to be paid more because it's a mental hazard. Like, it's a not a hazard, but it affects them, and it's something that they have to deal with. She called it as hazard pay. Like, it's something that they have to deal with as people to deal with these horrendous fans who don't want Black people in these stories, because that's not, that wasn't the intention of the authors. And the reason why I keep saying that wasn't the intention of the authors is because Black stories actually need to be made. Stop casting Black people. Don't stop casting Black people if you're not going to change the story.
Make it make sense, basically.
In accordance. And something else that I heard while during the House of Dragons journey is that the characters, the Valyrian family, like, they have so much going for them. And because of what the showrunners or whoever chose to focus on, they didn't focus on the fact that Rhaenyra and Laena were best friends. Like, they made it seem like Daemon didn't fuck with Laena, even though he was married to her for a good bit. I mean, they had 3 goddamn kids to survive, but he was with her for a while. They made it seem like he didn't give a fuck about her. He was only pressed about Rhaenyra, but Rhaenyra was her best friend. They didn't really show Daemon being a good dad to his 2 Black daughters. They hardly gave the Black daughters, Bela and Rhaena, speaking roles. So it was like, y'all literally just had them there to have them there. Like, y'all didn't really give a fuck about them and their storyline at all. And with the old Game of Thrones, I feel like we actually had time with the other families. Now, granted, this is a whole different thing, and they're focusing on the Targaryens or whatever. And now, Bela and Rhaena are fucking Targaryens. So next season, if y'all ain't got no storyline for them, we know what it is. I mean, we already know what it is, but if y'all ain't got no storyline for them for real, we know what it is. So yeah, that's just my main complaint, is just stop casting Black people in these stories if you're not going to be aware, if you don't have the awareness of what casting a Black person in these type of roles looks like and means to Black people. And Black people, we gotta stop being satisfied with the bare fucking minimum. Like, yeah, it's cool to watch. Yeah, we want to watch fantasy. Yeah, we want to see ourselves in fantasy. Like, I grew up on fantasy. Brent, no. You know, like, I've read Harry Potter my entire life. You know, like, I'm a fantasy girl through and through. Of course, I want to see Black people in there. But also, I don't want to see it at the expense of, like, they're just going to completely be disrespected and disregarded the whole time. That's not fun for me. And something else that I was, when I was listening to things recently that they talked about, was Black people's ability to see ourselves in everybody else, because that's just kind of how we had to, that's kind of what we had to do if we wanted to enjoy these type of stories. We're used to seeing ourselves in other characters despite them not looking like us. So it's nothing for me to, I don't have to be represented for me to like a story, because that's just how it's always been for me. It does mean something when I see it, but it has to be done right. If it's not done right, then I don't want it at all. And that might be selfish of me or whatever, but
that's how I feel too.
If it's not going to be done right, don't do it. Otherwise, it's just fake. And that's the thing that really pisses me off. It's like, we're not really progressing. It's all fake. It's all bullshit progression. It's just, it's literally just virtue signaling. Like, y'all really don't give a fuck. Y'all really just doing this just to say, oh, we got some niggas in here.
Yeah.
Y'all don't actually think about what the fuck that means when you actually put niggas in something, in some shit. Like, you just throw them in there, and then, like B said, you kill them off. Yeah. Instantly. Like, the niggas was gone in the first 6 episodes. Half the niggas was gone. And so, I don't remember how many episodes it was. 10?
Yeah.
What? And fucking, the uncle, was he alive? I can't remember. The main Valyrian, the head of the household, did he survive?
No, he died too.
Yeah, he died off screen.
We didn't see it. Yeah, we didn't see
he
it.
He died off screen.
He came back and they were already talking about he dead. He dead.
It was like, y'all man, couldn't what? Even, y'all couldn't even give us the respect of seeing the man pass. So anyways, that's my beef with House of Dragon. I mean, it's House of Dragons, it's Game of Thrones. So like, the dragons are cool. The kids' beef is funny. Fuck Allison. She's a bitch. Hate her ass. Rhaenyra, I mean, she just do what she do. I mean, she's a mother, whatever. But again, I don't feel, like B said, because of the time zones, I don't feel any kind of attachment to anybody. Oh, the reason why I can't get behind Rhaenyra or her uncle slash husband is because I don't fuck with that incest shit.
Like, that I was know. Gonna be my next my next thing that I didn't like about it was the incest was super over the top this season. Like, I get it and I understand from Game of Thrones. I mean, even from, you know, original Game of Thrones or whatever, I understand that incest was definitely present. We saw that, of course, with Jaime and Cersei. We knew of the whole history of the Targaryens through Dany. So we already knew what the fuck was going on. Mm-hmm. But goddamn. This shit, this House of Targaryen shit, this motherfucker here, this shit is full of goddamn incest. Like, uncomfortable incest. Like, they trying to get the kids fucking. They trying to get, like...
No, the kids are together.
They trying
to... brother and sister married each other.
Literally. They trying to get everything popping within the goddamn family. So it's just like, good God. Like, they don't care about the age. They don't care about it being within the family. None of that shit. It just, you know, it's just like, damn, like, that's my confusion. Like, where the inbred motherfuckers at? Like, where the niggas just, like, look, that look about out of their mind type shit? Like, where the niggas that look like they from the goddamn Hills Have Eyes?
Oh, God.
Like, where they at? Because y'all got these motherfuckers popping out, like, just regular, no deformities at all.
I mean, it's a fantasy, so.
But goddamn, like, the incest again, y'all, it's just over the top. And you motherfuckers who stand all this.
And shipping the shit.
Shipping all these disgusting. Goddamn.
Because I just feel like it's just, I don't know. I feel like y'all want to fuck y'all uncles and cousins. Like,
it's just nasty.
I know that it's not, I don't know. Like, logically, I want to be like, oh, it's just a show, blah, blah, blah. But in my brain, I'm just like,
this shit nasty.
I can't wrap my head. I can't ship a niece and an uncle. And it's so funny too, because if y'all read the articles, which y'all don't, but the fucking showrunners, everybody in there said, like, this relationship is toxic. He groomed her. Like, that's her fucking uncle. He's known her since he was young. Nothing about this relationship is really that consensual. Like, he groomed her. And y'all motherfuckers is still just, oh my God. No.
It's love.
No. 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 It's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay. So that's not, I wanted Ray to be with her baby daddy, but to kill him off.
I fell asleep on that part. What happened?
They killed,
I woke up, I just remember hearing you say, oh my God, now they killed that baby daddy too.
Oh, what was his name? I can't even remember his damn name. Not the Hound. That's from Game of Thrones. Harwin. Harwin Strong. Yes, that was his name. They killed him and his daddy off because his brother was jealous. That's the one who was looking at homegirl feet.
Mm-hmm.
Kill him off for homegirl. I don't know. Y'all know Game of Thrones messy as hell. But yes, like, that's what I wanted to fucking see. And we couldn't even see Rhaenyra and her baby daddy fuck, but we had to see Rhaenyra and her uncle fuck. Like, what? Make it make sense. Anyways, I will be tuned in, but yeah, I didn't really have the best of times with it in those regards, but I will be tuned in. I mean, because it's Game of Thrones, like, fuck.
Oh, another thing I didn't like about it. I guess that's all I'm naming the stuff I didn't like about it. It was just
the super... only thing that was kind of good was the last episode with the dragon fight with Damon and, no, Edmund.
Whatever the kid's name is. Yeah, that shit was
Aemon. Lit. Aemon and baby boy.
That shit was lit. That was a big ass. To see that nigga on top of that nigga in the clouds and to see how big that goddamn dragon was versus that little baby ass dragon he had, I said, oh shit, that motherfucker is goddamn Megalodon compared to that motherfucker. That shit was huge.
Yeah.
So yeah, that shit was cool. Another thing I didn't like about this show was the dialogue. It was super dialogue heavy. And I think that's another thing about this show that bored the fuck out of me, or why I was constantly, like, falling asleep during this show. It was just super dialogue heavy. Like, there was no real, real good action. It started off pretty good, and then it ended good, but everything in the middle, it was just fluff. And I just wasn't fucking with it. All we kept seeing was this old man fucking just deteriorating in front of our fucking eyes every goddamn episode. These fucking bratty ass old friends who used to be pals and now they goddamn frenemies. You got goddamn these kids fucking fighting ever since, literally for they kids all the way up to Tina. It's just too much. It was just too much.
Yeah.
It was just too fucking much. And I think another thing too with me, y'all know I like traveling. I hate being confined when I'm in a show. In real life too, but I hate being confined when I'm in a show. Case in point, the shit was pretty much just at one place. They went to Dragonstone, I think, once or twice or whatever. But other than that, they pretty much stayed within the same place. I like traveling. I think that's why I like Game of Thrones so much, because we was everywhere. Like, we was here. We was in King's Landing over here. We was over here. We was in North. We was in this. You know what I'm saying? We were just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it kept you, like, engaged. It kept you, like, you know what I'm saying? Your senses was just all just heightened and shit. Versus being in the same spot, you just got them dragging, waiting for the next scene to pop up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I had said I wasn't going to watch it no more than everybody. People kept saying, just push it through, see it through. So, I saw it through. But, I don't know. I might give it a go. Look, again, I hopefully they do good and start off with a bang and finish it off good. But, I don't know, y'all. Hopefully, I don't know. I ain't too pressed with all the fast forward and all the time jumps.
Yeah. All right. So I think we should take a break based on our setup, and then we'll go back. Black Friday and holiday specials are live at RooneyBoutique.com. A new satin luxury travel pillowcase is available. And an outfit. The pillowcases are 1 for $30 or 2 for $50, and they are available to be customized at your request for a completely unique look for the ultimate vacation vibes. Order now at RooneyBoutique.com. That's R-U-N-I Boutique.com. Now let's get back to the show. We're still on homework, so just very briefly, I know I say that all the time and then we end up not being brief, but we watched the movie together. So I, in my free time, like to listen to I like to listen to critics. I like to listen to the big picture. Let's just call them out. The big picture. Two white critics, Amanda and Sean on The Ringer. Actually really enjoyed their commentary for the most part, but they're really funny also at the same time. However, there was a horror movie episode and they recommended Speak No Evil on Shudder, and now we have Shudder. So I was like really wanting to watch this movie because they're like, oh, this is the scariest movie I've seen, like it's so unsettling, da 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 da. Now I knew what the movie was about, but I didn't know all of the details. They just say it takes a turn and it's just really dark and blah 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 blah. Essentially, this movie is about two European families. I think they're Dutch and Danish. Honestly, don't know. Pardon my ignorance. But once you get past, like, English, French, Italian, and Spanish, I don't know.
Everything else is the same.
Everything else is just about the same. So, yeah, I think they were Dutch and Danish. They meet on vacation. One family invites the other family to their house later, after their vacation, because they just got on so well, and shenanigans ensue. Let me just start off by saying this movie was not scary at all.
At the fuck all.
It was 2 hours.
And that's big for her, y'all. If she say that, I mean, it really ain't scary.
No, nothing about it scared me. Nothing. It's creepy-ish. Creepy things happen, like, kind of unsettling, but it's not scary at all. So I say all that to say I'm not listening to critics no more. However, white critics. Let me put asterisks behind that. However, when I thought about the name of the movie and the kind of the plot of the movie and what it was about, I kind of do appreciate that theme. And I had to, with all movies that kind of are more artistic, I would say, I do always just go back and read a Wikipedia, synopsis so I can kind of just better from my own understanding, just to make sure I watched what I thought I watched. And so with this movie, it was more so like, the movie was called Speak No Evil. You see the son of one of the families has no tongue. His tongue has been cut up, his tongue has been stitched together. I believe they said that he was born without one, and so that's just how the
and medical your boy staff, Brent knew it was Cap. I was like, this is big Cap. I said they probably cut his damn tongue, y'all, because he probably talked too damn much. That's what I said, but I knew it was Cap. Continue.
Yeah. So, essentially, and basically what happened in this movie is that the husband, even though the wife began to feel unsettled, and even the husband of the other family just kind of slowly kept disrespecting the wife, her husband never said anything. He never kind of checked the dude. He just kind of let him continue to walk all over them, essentially. In subtle ways. It was very passive-aggressive what the other family was doing. And so, basically, the whole movie was about, if you don't speak up, if you don't stand up for yourself, fucked up shit will happen. And I mean, literally, until the last second of the movie, the evil, quote-unquote, couple, they were evil, but still, pulled them out of the car, told them to get out of the car, get undressed, and go lay down in a pit.
And they just did it.
They did it. No questions asked. They did it.
No, like, they no gun to their head. Like, nothing, y'all. Like, you can tell this is going to be the end of the road. This is fight or fucking flight. This is goddamn kill or be goddamn kill. And y'all just fucking just went right to the goddamn
along. And if you gonna kill me, I'm going to kill you with me.
Goddamn something.
Like, I'm busting heads. I'm fighting for my life to the very end. They didn't do shit.
Nothing. They daughter got snatched up. They cut her goddamn tongue.
So, yeah, so you realize that the little boy, I mean, the father, and that's another thing, too. The father discovered, like, kind of a trophy. You know how serial killers or whatever have, like, a trophy section where they put up all of their prizes. He finds a room with all these pictures of all these families with all these kids. The dad fucking finds it. Don't say shit to the wife.
Just say, let's go. Let's dip. We gotta go. We gotta go.
That's another one of his mistakes.
Yeah.
So when the car broke down, which you knew the car was gonna break down.
Yeah, you knew that. He disappointed me the whole goddamn movie.
He didn't say shit. So they hopped back in the car with those the people trying to get away from. And the wife was just like, oh my God, thank you so much. Cause she don't know.
Right.
But come to find out, the husband knew the whole time. And so the reason why the quote unquote son's tongue was cut out is so he couldn't say nothing.
Go back. That was the second time they went back. The first thing went back for that goddamn teddy bear.
And that was another thing, too. As parents, control your fucking kids.
Yeah. That teddy bear
gone, bitch. You the parent.
Yeah, that teddy bear gone.
It's gone. I don't feel right. I'm not going back to that house.
You'll get another one.
Shut up. We'll get you another one when we get home. Sorry, not shut up. I'm trying to practice because I will be a parent one day, so I need to practice.
Shut up. Shut the hell up.
And, yeah, like, yes, so that's, if anything, I would say the theme of the movie was kind of the most interesting part of how to see how the family who was the victims reacted to things that were bothering them, and they didn't really say nothing. Like, even after that man, the wife said, I'm a vegetarian. Well, I'm a pescatarian. She didn't say she was a pescatarian, but she said, I'm a vegetarian that eats seafood sometimes. So, bitch, you ain't a vegetarian, first of all.
Right.
But she didn't say that. She said, I'm a vegetarian. That man kept trying to feed her meat. She never said, nigga, I'm a fucking vegetarian. Why are you feeding me meat?
Right.
Speak the fuck up. So, that was literally the whole point of the movie, which is kind of interesting. But no, I'm not listening to White Critics no more when they recommend something because it wasn't good. Not that it wasn't good, it wasn't scary. And the build-up was kind of, it didn't really build up to nothing real scary.
Like I said, y'all, this shit just pissed me off the whole goddamn time. I'm not a parent right now, but at the same time, like, I have a wife. And what I can honestly say is, like, you gotta really, like, be a protector. Like, your protector mode gotta really kick in. I'll say this shit real quick as a quick little side note. When it came time, y'all know we go to Halloween Horror Nights every fucking year. I used to be low-key scared to go until it was her year to go. And when I say that, it was just like, I was still even kind of scared at first. When we went our first time, I'm like, shit, I don't know how I'm finna ride with this. Like, but it wasn't until I saw that she was so fucking, like, petrified, that became, like, that almost made me feel like I had to be, not a protector, but I just had to, like, make sure she was good in a way. So from then on out, I was never, like, like scared or like none of that shit bothered me ever again. So it was just like this nigga like got put in several of those situations where it's like, nigga, you have to protect your family at all costs. Mm-hmm. Like whatever, like, you know, like just kind of no matter what. Y'all, you know, you knew this shit wasn't right the whole time. You knew something was wrong, yet you still kept letting shit fucking happen over and over and over again. You get to the point now where y'all literally seeing y'all fucking daughter getting pulled from y'all fucking grasp of y'all goddamn hand. Where y'all in the car with this family. You keep getting whopped upside the head by this damn man. And he in the damn driver's seat.
Yeah.
You in the passenger seat and he literally fucking you up. And ain't nothing you can physically really do about it right now. At that moment, even the lady in the back, she just letting shit the fuck happen. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all gotta fucking fight for y'all goddamn child. But it was more so on him. Like, he just was not a protector at whatsoever the fuck ever. This girl's mm-hmm. tongue get cut out. All he gonna do is just fucking sit there and throw up and cry.
Right.
And then the goddamn wife in the back, all she gonna do is just sit there and scream at the lady. I would have been whooping her ass the whole time in that damn back seat. She was just screaming, hollering, and crying. Facing the girl, wasn't touching her. They were just some bitch ass parents. They were just awful. But I blame the husband first. He was worse.
Yeah.
He was worse. He was god awful.
He was driving the car and he turned it back around.
Literally.
Because Brent would have been like, no.
Out of there.
We're not going back.
We're not going back. That's it.
That's point blank, period.
But yeah, so that's on Shudder. We do have Shudder, and I'm actually pretty excited to have it, but again, we haven't had much time to watch stuff on it, and I'm not gonna watch scary shit by myself. I need to find, like, some thrillers on there I'll probably watch, but nothing that's supposed to be just so scary.
I saw a lot. I was trying to watch some shit the other night. It looked like it was gonna be good. That shit said Indonesian. That shit, I'm like, damn, I don't feel like, reading. Two or three movies I tried to look on there, they were all foreign. I'm like, God damn, I really don't feel like reading right now. I'm lazy.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, let's get into this tea for the week. So, we saw The Woman King and we saw Wakanda Forever. So, we're just going to kind of go back and forth between the two. Let's just start with The Woman King, I guess, because it's the older sister. Give me your initial thoughts and feelings on the movie.
Oh, what? You said
outside
Woman
of,
King?
Yes, outside of your, you know, your terrible theater experience.
Oh, we're going to get to that later.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
You had to rant the last episode.
Huh? I what?
I thought you ranted about it the last episode.
No, I didn't. Because we didn't talk about it.
We're not bringing this trauma back up.
I'm gonna talk. I want to tell them my future movie experiences.
Tell us about The Woman King.
Okay, The Woman King was a magnificent movie. It stood up to the hype that, you know. First of all, I try to avoid hype at all costs because that typically is a deal breaker for me, or it's like a make or break type of thing for me. Mm-hmm. So I try to avoid hype at all costs, just like I try to avoid spoilers. But, you know, just being on Facebook, too, especially with me working in social media, especially being on Facebook more often, that's where the older folks be at. All them motherfuckers, oh, my God, Woman King was the best movie I've ever seen before in my life. And, oh, my God, it was just everybody just gas, just petroleum, just air gas from everywhere. Even in our family group, her mom gassed it. Everybody was gassing it. So I knew it was going to be a good movie, but it definitely lived up to the hype or whatever. Wonderful representation of black women. Wonderful fight scenes from black women. God damn, like, the fight scenes were just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And that goes from everybody. They had really good characters. They had really good... what is it when it's called when you fucking...
A plot?
Nah. Bro, yeah. Great
character development.
Thank you. Great character development, great plot. When you build a connection with a character. What's that called? I thought that was called something.
Chemistry? Relatability?
I guess, like, chemistry between, you know, between the audience and certain characters or whatever. Like, that was...
Oh, yeah.
Was, like, you know, you like, damn.
Yeah, you just
like,
start to care.
Hmm?
You
start to care, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you want to see certain people get out, you want to see certain people win, you want to see certain people survive and all that shit. But yeah, I mean, in every way possible, the fashion was great, the shots were amazing, Everything about the movie was just really good. I mean, there's only one thing I did not like about the movie. Literally one thing. And I guess I'll just go ahead and say it. So, in the movie, I'm sure y'all have seen the shit. In the movie, of course, the scene where we kind of realize that...
This is a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it. There's a scene where the young girl... I forgot her name. There's a scene where the young girl realized that... What's the name character name?
Viola. I literally forgot every character's name.
So there's a scene where the young girl realizes that Viola Davis' character is technically her mom. I did not like that. I did not like
Naniska, Nawi.
Oh, this shit sounds foreign to me.
Nawi is the girl. Naniska is Viola Davis. Izogi is Lashana Lynch's. That's the one who passed.
That's one I love.
Yeah, she was.
I
love. So
she was my favorite character, and I knew y'all. This is my film and video degree kicking in right here. I knew. Based off of her character, even from the very beginning, like it didn't have to be 30 minutes in. I said she's gonna die. I knew she's gonna die, and they do that. They do that in movies. They get us to really love a character. They get us to see, oh my God, like they look like a role model to the girl. You know, she's humorous. She's funny. She's like, what's the damn shit? I'm forgetting everything right now, y'all.
She, charismatic.
That, but what's it called when, what is it called when you use humor to like lighten a tense mode or tense scene?
I mean, she's just comedic.
Comedy relief. Comedic relief. Yeah. Thank you. Like she was. I couldn't think of it. She was just literally that. So anytime they do all of that with, especially with one character, I was like, oh yeah, they're gonna fucking kill her. They're gonna have us love her to death.
The fan favorite.
She's a fan favorite. She's such a badass. Like she was ride or die. I thought, like, oh, yeah, they're gonna kill her. They're gonna kill her. And I'd be goddamn when they did. Oh my God.
And like she has survived some fucked up shit and she still ended up passing in a fucked up way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the movie. I just wanna say, you know, in terms of speaking of both of these movies, I listened to a review of Black Panther and it also made me think of this movie, or sorry, of Wakanda Forever. And it also made me think of this movie is that I would say between these two movies and maybe even I'll speak on Black women first because that's what I am. Just seeing strong, I hate to say strong Black female characters, but like, honestly, there was kind of a lack, like outside of, you know, some TV shows there, I would say, I don't even talk about TV shows, but let's just say movies in general. In movies, there was a lack of like these kind of just badass ass kicking characters, superheroes, essentially. Because I would consider the tribe of warriors in The Woman King, the Dohaime, if I said that wrong, forgive me, I'm a nigga, I'm American, the nigga of niggas, if they, like, yes, we just haven't really seen that. I mean, it started, I would say, when we started the podcast in 2020 with Lovecraft Country. And then, but just so far, just seeing, like, strong Black female characters has really been, and they're leading the cast. Not even just in the cast, but they're leading the cast has just really been amazing to watch. As a Black woman, as a person who loves stories like this, I mean, I grew up on The Gladiator. Like, that was one of my mom's favorite movies. Like, I grew up on, like, historical fiction. I grew up on fucking fantasy and shit like that. So, Greek shit, mythology, all that bullshit. Like, so, to see myself in these type of stories as a grown-ass motherfucking woman, like, it's amazing. And something that I've discussed before on the podcast is, like, I have a problem with, like, forced feminism, and I feel like these two projects were the antithesis of what forced feminism doesn't have to be. Like, when I say, like, compared to something like fucking Thor Love and Thunder, and Wakanda Forever, like, it has to be genuine. That's the problem about it. It's like, this shit is not genuine for the most part. When they uplift women characters, it's because y'all had 20 fucking years of men characters and didn't give a shit about the women in the movies. Whereas the first Black Panther, the women were an integral part. They were strong. They were superheroes from the get-go. So when we get to Wakanda Forever, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel disingenuous to have these women lead the fucking movie. And what's our people that we listen to? I was thinking about the podcast. I can't think of the name right now. A little tipsy. But and the song is playing in my head. But anyways, they literally talked about how, like, they had a cast of different people talking about Wakanda Forever, and they were just talking about, with all of the T'Challa of it all and the Chadwick Boseman of it all, we kind of failed to uplift this movie as the, like, first Black superhero woman movie. And that really, like, hit me, because I was like, oh my God, like, it really is. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've talked about it on here before. I've been at Marvel since I watched fucking Blade in 1990. I didn't know Blade was a Marvel character, but I watched Blade as a child. Like, I've been with Marvel since the fucking beginning. And as a fucking 31-year-old, it finally, there's a Black superhero woman movie, and it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like they were forced to do it. Obviously, they kind of were because of the situation, but again, if we go back to 2018, it was always within the fiber of the characters, within the fiber of the film. And what I talked about, or what I tweeted on our account after I watched Wakanda Forever, I don't know if it was on our account or my account, whatever, but I just said, like, you could just tell Ryan Coogler really cares about Black women, and it's, again, it's just always been that way, and it's never felt forced. And so same with Woman King. I mean, Woman King was made by, the director was a Black woman. I think the script writer was a white woman. Maybe they collabed on it, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It's just fucking dope to see, the story of the Woman King, just with, you know, her, she was sexually assaulted. She had the baby, gave the baby up for adoption, and somehow the baby came back into her life and, you know, was basically a little version of her, even though she didn't raise her.
That's the only thing I don't like about the movie. What? I wish they would have just kept it as, like, she was just this random girl.
I think it was a full circle, and I think it was a full circle moment, and I think, too, that was a really woman-specific thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something really specific to women, and kind of made it more emotional, I guess you would say, in that aspect. But yeah, the fight scenes were dope. Viola's fucking dope. She's the GOAT. She needs to be Best Actress nominated. What was her name? Na'Vi, that actress, her daughter in the movie was fucking dope. Lashana Lynch, like B already said, like, her character, I mean, whoo! If Viola doesn't get, because Viola, she was good, but we know Viola is good. But Lashana Lynch, like, she was just so fucking lit, bro. She was,
Can we make, like, a Black Oscar?
I know, something. I mean, I guess that's what the NAACP Image Awards are.
I'm tired of, like, I mean, I know it sounds cool for us to say, like, oh, they got to be nominated, they got to win all this. Da, da, da.
Right, because we know they're not going to recognize them.
Right, I'm tired of,
or if they do, it's just going to be some bullshit.
White fucking people, or, you know, white award shows who don't have no idea what Black talent is.
Right. So, yeah, go fucking see The Woman King if you...
I see motherfucker in DVD right now, ain't it?
I think it's still in the... Well, I don't know. It's probably... Now. Yeah, it's probably video on demand now. But, yeah, see The Woman King if you haven't already. Rent it, buy it. It's fucking dope. Again, it's in the same... And I think they even said that they were inspired by... Gladiator, stuff like that. It, for the niggas who care that historically these warriors help send niggas into slavery, Like,
I mean,
it's facts, but it's also like, this is a fiction. And also, we cannot, I mean, it happened. Like, we cannot, I don't know. I just feel like you wasn't there, so you don't know what the fuck they was going through. And in the movie, it was like, kind of their livelihood was kind of fucked up. But I don't know. I like that they changed it in the end, that they stopped those people from being sold. But it is what it is. We over here now. So we got to get over it. We got to figure out a way to move forward as a community, as a diaspora. Because that's what white people want. They want us to be separate. Because if we weren't, it would be the end of them. But anyways, we're not going to get into that. So yes, Wakanda Forever. Where do we start? Okay, so I was scared to watch this movie because I didn't, you know, just a bit of personal. I lost my brother. So years ago at this point, like 6 years ago. But still, you know, that's still a hurt that kind of never goes away. So seeing Shuri go through that process of losing her brother, I was not excited about it at all. But I will say, I was like, oh, okay, I can handle this. Maybe because it's been some time. Maybe it was because of how in the trailer they kind of showed the fume before in the trailer. So it was like when it happened, outside of just the beginning when it started and, you know, you see how Shuri was trying to save him. But once you get to the funeral, it was in the trailer. So even though I teared up, and in that first moment of silence, I teared up. It was kind of like you knew it was coming, so you were kind of prepared for it. So I appreciate them for that. Overall, I'll just give my overall thoughts and feelings. I really enjoyed the movie for the most part. My critiques are that it was long, and the only reason that I feel like it was long is because of the corporation aspect of it all. They had to include Dave Fontaine in here so that they could set up Thunderbolts or whatever. And it was like, I feel like they could have did all of that in an end credit scene. And
who was Dave Fontaine?
The lady with the purple streaks in her hair who was married to Freeman, their favorite colonizer. Basically, whenever white people came on the screen, it was unnecessary. Outside of when they both got fucked up. To me. Now I understand that they have to do that for, you know, to continue the phase to phase 5 or whatever the fuck. But I just feel like it took me kind of out of the story. And I wanted to be more with Shuri. I wanted to be more with Namor. I wanted to be more with Talokan or Wakanda or whatever. And I feel like, too, for the first hour, we was kind of, I mean, obviously we had to go through the grieving process or whatever. But I feel like we was kind of trying to, we still didn't really know what this movie was about. Until about an hour in, and it was like, oh, okay, then it really started. So those are my critiques. But yeah, just as far as that is concerned, I mean, I just really love the way that they handled the grief. I love the ultimate conflict of the movie, which was that, you know, these colonizers, these imperialists, they are the fucking villains. Now Namor did some villainous shit, but he wasn't really the villain. It was really how the colonizers set them up to infight and basically, you know, so that they can come in and infiltrate later. Mm-hmm. So I did appreciate that theme of the movie. Of course, all of the strong black women throughout the movie. I mean, there were multiple people who you can, you know, put on the Superhero Hall of Fame. You can put Okoye, of course, Queen Ramonda, of course, Nneka, or Lupita's character, of course, Shuri, fucking Riri Williams. I do want to talk about Riri Williams, but I'm wondering if we should pause and start over.
Just keep going for right now.
Okay. So, Riri Williams. I saw a lot of people complaining about Riri, and I feel like if you complained about Riri, you didn't understand the purpose. Outside of her needing her kind of backdoor entrance into the MCU, Riri was the Black American Avatar or Conduit. Like, Riri was how niggas would act if they came into contact with Wakandans. And so how she was acting, I loved. I love that she, something that I love that from Ryan in general, it's just like, there's no code switching. There's no, like, they're just very unapologetically who they are, even in spaces where, you know, where quote unquote, we might not typically be. So like, Riri is in MIT with all of these white kids running game, charging them up, like, and still her Chicago black self. And I really appreciate it and love seeing her character, and I'm excited for her show. So even though people are like, oh my God, we didn't have enough time around, I don't know who she is, da, da, da. She was there for niggas, American niggas specifically. So that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll talk about, Namor and just like the Aztec history of it all. I thought that was fucking dope. I love the fact that, because I feel like a lot of Latinx people went and saw the first Black Panther and, you know, they were hype about it. And the ones who were, had issues was like, oh my God, I wish we had a Latinx superhero for ourselves. And I mean, they listened and they really paid attention to and showed how, you know, colonization really affected both of our communities, both of our ancestors. And I thought that was fucking dope as well. And Namor is fucking dope as a mutant. I just want to see more mutants because I grew up on them. So I love them a lot.